Well, it was a fragile truce from the beginning, to say the least, but it seems even that very tenuous ceasefire is over in Yemen. Heavy fighting lasted through the night in the capital city of Sana'a, and the UN Human Rights Office said it's received reports that more than 50 people have been killed in Taiz. That's the country's second largest city. That's just since Sunday. Forces loyal to Yemeni President Ali Abdullah Saleh also bombarded Zanjibar with airstrikes yesterday. That's because Islamic militants took control over that city, reportedly. Joining us now is Nasser Arabi, who's reporting for our partner, The New York Times, from Sana'a, Yemen. Nasser, can you tell us what's happening now?
Thank you very much. In fact, here in Sana'a, the capital, there have been clashes between Saleh forces and tribal forces of the top tribal leader, Sadiq al-Ahmar, and they are continuing until now.
Between the tribal forces, but we're still hearing protesters repeatedly say that the protesters are peaceful, it's the tribal forces that have become violent.
This is true. Many of the protesters are saying this, and they are peaceful, yes, but the majority of the protesters belong to the Islamist Party, which is under the control of Al-Ahmar sons, and the first one of them is Hamid and Sadiq. So they also receive instructions from their party.
And there's also reports that the government is actually using airstrikes and bringing in tanks to simply clear out everything in their way, going through squares and burning tents. At this point, does it feel to you as though the government response to protests and the tribal reaction is escalating?
This is true, but not here in Sana'a yet. This is true for the central city of Taiz in the south. The government forces cleared completely the sit-in square yesterday and the day before, and today the Republican Guards, that is the main forces of Saleh, are deployed in all the cities and in the exits and the entrance of the city of Taiz. So they can't even make any demonstration today until now.
That's Nasser Arabi, reporter for our partner, The New York Times, reporting live from Yemen. Also with us, Nicholas Kristof, columnist for our partner, The New York Times. Nicholas, are we still saying that Yemen is not in a civil war?
Well, it sure looks like a civil war to me. It's not in every city, not in every province, but both in the north and in the south, and then in the capital of Sana'a, you do have forces shooting away, and it's, I think, worrying just about everybody who looks at Yemen and, fears who might win that civil war.
And when you say who might win that, there seems to be four forces at play here. We've got the protesters that Nasser Arabi was just talking about, who are still trying to maintain peaceful protests. We've got tribal leaders who are actually responding violently and with the military force at their power. We've got the government forces, and it appears we also have the Islamic movements, such as those that took control of the city of Zanjibar.
There are actually about 10,000 factions there.
Yeah,
every in the north, you've also got the Houthi rebels around the town of Saada. You've got every local tribe is pushing which way. But obviously,
Yemen is armed to the teeth, Nicholas, and is the most poverty-stricken country in that region. It seems to me beyond civil war, we're looking at a possible failed state of the Somalia model here. What do you think?
I think that's possible. Partly that is because every region has become deeply antagonistic to President Saleh, who does overstayed his welcome, and the South would like to go its own way. Part of the North would like to go its own way. I mean, I think we here are very focused on al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, and that is indeed one risk, but there's a real risk of just fragmentation.
Well, and fragmentation, many people think, would actually increase the risk of al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, giving even more of a foothold. It has already been identified as the largest threat to domestic security for the United States, which begs the question of, is there a possibility of intervention either from NATO or the U.S.?
The problem with intervention is that one reason why al-Qaeda and Islamists have already grown pretty strong is because of real resentment at what they see as American influence there. I mean, a lot of it is a reaction to America already, not boots on the ground, but a sense that we're that President Saleh is our pawn, and real resentment against him. So I think if we were to actually go in and, you know, land even a modest number of troops, that would very likely strengthen the fundamentalist response. Now, we could do a counterterrorism approach of the kind, you know, where we go in and strike people with missiles from a distance. I don't know how effective that would be.
Well, we're speaking with Nicholas Kristof, columnist for our partner, the New York Times. But Nicholas Kristof, Saleh has refused to step down three times. But what is he the president of at this point? I mean, Yemen was already a relatively fragile, unified state, if it whatever was truly unified. What are the options for Saleh?
Well, there are still negotiations going on, and my hunch is that there will indeed be a deal, that Saudi Arabia will push him harder, that there'll be a deal with the main tribe that he is negotiating with, that some of the members of that tribe will leave as well, and I think that might be something that Saleh might agree to. So I wouldn't, just because he has refused three times, I don't think that means he's going to stay on for another 33 years.
And the Saudis have tolerated a great degree of instability in Yemen over the years, when it used to be South Yemen during the old Marxist days.
Yeah, they have. But, you know, one of the problems, as you say, is just the way it's an arms market. I remember, you know, going to a store in the north and seeing RPGs for sale, seeing anti-aircraft guns for sale. That is why it's so hard for the Saudis or anybody else to bring a real measure of control in a country like this.
Even though the United States gives billions in aid, that gives us no leverage there?
The problem is that Saleh steals a certain amount of that money and has zero governance, hasn't improved education. He's been, you know, not only the leader for 33 years, but a pretty awful leader for 33 years.
All right. Well, Nicholas Kristof, columnist for our partner, The New York Times, talking about the unrest in Yemen, which could be on the verge of a civil war if it's not there already. We also spoke with Nasser Arabi, a reporter for our partner, The New York Times. He spoke to us from the capital city of Sana'a. We're going to have to follow the developments and see how they occur. At this point, it appears that heavy fighting is continuing in at least three large cities in Yemen.